Let's pray.
Oh Lord, our great and glorious God, we thank you for a bright and beautiful morning when we can gather together in this chapel in the name of our wonderful Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to say thank you for your great love in sending Jesus to be the Saviour of sinners like us. We want to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who sacrificed himself upon the cross so that we might be forgiven as we express our heartfelt sorrow. Father, thank you that you have loved us and you sent Christ to save us. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you sent the Holy Spirit in this world to convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of a judgment to come. And thank you that you, the great triune God, are still working in this wicked, evil world, bringing people to realize that they must walk in the light of your word and seek to love you and obey you and be truly sorry for all that we've done wrong. Lord, we confess that we have thought or said or done things wrong, even today and especially over this past week. We plead with you, O Lord, for forgiveness and pray, God, you'll help us today to understand the scriptures more. Bless the children gathered with us. Thank you for the instruction that has been given to them already. Thank you for another Lord's Day when we can all be profiting from your word. And we pray that as we open our Bibles, that you would also open our hearts and minds to perceive wonderful things out of your law. We pray, Lord, that you will bless those friends who are sick and unwell. We know, Lord, that the Saviour was so tender-hearted and compassionate and merciful to those not only who were sinful but those who were sick as well. And we plead with you, dear Lord, that you would draw near to give grace and healing and strength and help to those who are poorly at this time, and for any who might be bereaved, that Lord, you would draw near to comfort them. Father, we thank you then for all the activities of the week that have been planned, and we do pray, Lord, that you will presence yourself amongst your people as they engage in the various activities and as they prepare for the Holiday Bible Club. We long, O Lord, that this will be a further opportunity to share the good news of the gospel with younger people. We plead with you for the salvation of souls, and particularly, Lord, for children and young people to come to know and love and trust you and want to walk in your ways from an early age. Father, we thank you for the pastor here and those in leadership. We pray that you'll bless the ministry of your word through him, and pray, God, you'll bless Pastor Joseph Hewitt as he shares your word with the people in Lewisham today, and pray, Lord, that together we will be found rejoicing in your love, your mercy, your goodness towards us. Help us, O Lord, to praise you with grateful hearts. Help us to sing your praise in a worthy manner. Help us, Lord, to understand the scriptures aright. And we ask all these things in the name of our wonderful, glorious, risen Lord and Saviour, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please open your Bibles now in the New Testament to John's Gospel and chapter 5. I'm going to read from verse 1 as far as verse 13. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, Do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, Rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered them, He who made me well said to me, Take up your bed and walk. Then they asked him, Who is the man who said to you, Take up your bed and walk? The one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn and a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honour the Son just as they honour the Father. He who does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. And shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice, and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. So reads this portion of God's Word. Please open your Bibles then to the Gospel of John and chapter 5, where today I want to address you this morning on what I'm calling the steps of new life. In a little further in John's Gospel, in chapter 8 and in verse 12, we have a text which perhaps summarizes what I want to say from this passage this morning, where we read, Jesus said, Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. out of the many miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ performed, there are not so many that are recorded in the fourth gospel that we know as John's gospel. In fact, John came to the end of his writing of the account of the Lord's earthly ministry as inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he made this comment at the end of his writing in John 21:30. He acknowledged that Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. Oh, there were so many of them. Almost too many to record. But then John goes on, because he explains why he wrote about these particular miracles, because they had special importance. He says, but these are written that you, dear reader, you, dear listener, may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, the very fact that you're listening to my voice today is an indication that you're alive. But have you got spiritual life? Have you got life in Christ? That's the critical thing. Because we can live our lives, and I lived 19 years of my earthly life, dead, in sin, in a state of unbelief, in a state of rebellion against Almighty God, not caring to walk in the ways of the Lord. But then a miracle took place. I was converted. Christ became my Lord, my Saviour, my God. And I tell you, I was struggling like this man, like Joshua earlier in our children's talk. How do you walk in the ways of the Lord? It's so hard, it's so difficult. Well, start by reading the scripture. Start by pleading with the Lord that God will help you and bless you and strengthen you in your efforts. Well, back to this miracle. The miracle then that John has written about has a special purpose because it is particularly helpful in illustrating to us important lessons about new life that can be our personal experience as we come to know and love and trust the Lord Jesus Christ ourselves. So this is true of all the miracles recorded in John's Gospel. And in the case of this man, this crippled man that we're thinking about in John and chapter 5, it is particularly true. What a terrible existence he had before the Lord Jesus Christ ministered to his need. The Lord showed compassion upon him. And after years of not being able to walk, of literally being crippled, he was able to take his first steps. Now use your imagination for a moment. Supposing you had not been able to walk for 38 years. Supposing someone one day came to you and helped you and made it possible to be able to walk for the first time. What a thrill! What a delight! What an amazing thing! Well, here's exactly what is happening to this man. He's going to need help. He's going to need guidance. But he's not going to need a stick or a crutch to support him. He's taking, as it were, the steps of new life. And what a graphic illustration it is of the spiritual life that can be found for people who once were crippled by sin in our lives, now being able to walk in the ways of the Lord and obey the Lord's commands. Well, the crippled man, I suggested, needed four things to be able to take his first steps and walk in newness of life, and Jesus was able to confront him in each one of these needs, just as he's able to confront you today in your need. Now, I hope you're not inclined to drop your H's. It's funny, some people I listen to, they drop their H's and then they put an H in where it doesn't belong. Well, don't get dropping H's today because my alliterated headings are all H's, all right? So hopefully that's a simple memory aid for you. Number one, what did the man need? It's so obvious. He needed healing. He had been an invalid for 38 years. The first thing that jumps out the page at you is surely the fact that here is a man who needs healing. And what a ridiculous argument is frequently raised by people who don't read the Bible. And how often it is that they present us who love the Lord and who are Christians with this ridiculous sort of proposition. This is the sort of thing some people say. Well, if God existed, why is there so much suffering and sickness in the world? Well, that's their question that they pose to us. And quite frankly, such questions reveal the gross ignorance of the person who is asking the question. To which I often respond, please read the Bible. Please begin at the beginning. Please learn about how sin and suffering and sickness and God's judgment upon the sin of unbelief and disobedience came into the world and how we've all been affected by it. It's a stark reminder that we all need a new way of life. We all need forgiveness of sin. We are all, at one time or another, sick, reminding us that as a result of one man's disobedience, sin came into this world. And the early chapters of the Bible make it quite clear that this was a direct result of disobedience to Almighty God. Sin is universal, and I put it to that the evidence of it is that sickness and death is also universal. Remember, my dear dad, when he was alive, for many years he could boast, I've never had a day off sick from work in my life. But he died of a coronary thrombosis. No, we can't afford to be glib and boastful if we're fit and well. The day will come when sickness will strike. Well, here is a man who definitely needed healing. For 38 years, he had suffered this awful affliction. But may I put it to you, instead of complaining, perhaps as we sometimes do, or worse still, you hear people blaming God for their ill health, their sickness, or whatever, let's be mindful that for most of us, we ought to be able to praise the Lord that we haven't been an invalid for nearly 40 years, or even 38, as this man has been. However, the fact will be that from time to time we will suffer from poor health. And each time we suffer some affliction in our body, it's a reminder, a little prod from the Lord, reminding us that just as we have a weakness in our physical body, so there is a weakness in our spiritual life. Here was a man who couldn't walk and needed healing. And who of us can boast that in our own strength and ability, we can walk in the ways of the Lord? We need help. We need healing. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's walking the crowded streets of the capital city of Israel. And he's seeing many people in need of healing. And here, on this particular occasion, he's come to this pool, the pool of Bethesda, which being interpreted means the house of grace. Grace is a lovely word, isn't it? It's God's blessing or favour when we do not deserve it. And all these blind people, all these lame people, all these paralyzed people are there. And note the amazing demonstration now as Jesus looks down upon these people. Out of all the people that have gathered in this place, Jesus looked in compassion on one person. And he looked directly at them. And then he puts it to them, a very blunt, almost, we would judge perhaps, at least I do, a strange question. Do you really want to be well? And you're thinking, I've been here in this state for 38 years and you're asking me if I want to be well? Of course I want to be well! Why are you asking me a silly question like that? Might come into at least my mind. I don't know if it came into the mind of the crippled man. For many of us then, it may sound strange to ask a person who has suffered virtually for four decades, do you want to be well? Well, to me, it's a valid question. You see, the sad fact is that many of us, in the physical, and the physical illustrates the spiritual, for many of us, we can get so used to a particular infirmity. We get so used to the condition that we're in. We never have a longing for a better, fuller, different sort of life. For some, they are actually enjoying not having to exercise responsibility. For this crippled man, all he could do was just sit there by the side of the pool day after day. He didn't have seemingly any other responsibilities. And it may be even for you today, you're crippled by sin. You need healing. But it's gone on for so many years in your life that you almost got used to it. And you don't sense there is a desperate urgency about your need to cry to the Lord Jesus Christ for help. Well, may the Lord wake us up to our need. Oh, what was Jesus doing here in asking the question? Well, I put it to you that it's a reminder that Jesus confronts us all individually. As the preacher today, I address a congregation. But the word of the Lord, just as Jesus spoke to that one crippled man, so the word of the Lord comes to us, each individual, personally, awakening us to our great need. Making us think about the fact that improvement is absolutely essential and yet in our own strength is impossible. And we need to discover that there is power available outside of our human realm that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ and only in Him. We need to think. We need to listen to Jesus. We need to learn from His words. Well, here is a man then who needed healing. But here is a man who needed hope. Look at what he says in verse 7. The sick man answered the Lord Jesus, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps in before me." What a pitiful state of hopelessness. If ever a man needed healing, it's him. If ever there was a man who needed hope, it's him. He hasn't got the remotest hope of being healing because he thinks there's no one there to help him. What a picture of forlorn and hopelessness. What a statement of gloom and despair. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Ephesus, he reminded them at the time that yes, in Ephesians 2:12, that they were once without Christ. And as such, they were without hope and without God in this world. And sadly, there are still multitudes of people in exactly the same position. They need healing for their souls. There is a sense of hopelessness as they think that they are beyond help and no one is ready to care for them. How many people can you think of who are in this very pitiful, sad condition? Is that your present state of affairs yourself? Are your circumstances so bad that you've got used to them and yet at the same time you've lost all hope of a change taking place? If this is true of you, then I want to quickly reassure you that the Lord is only a prayer away. Amen. this man was talking to Jesus personally. And the same privilege and responsibility rests on you. You cry out to the Lord. You respond to his bidding. You respond to his invitation of help. It appears then that for 38 years, this man had a false hope. He lived in hope that one day, he didn't know when it would be, he lived in hope that one day he would get into the pool just at the right moment before everybody else and be healed. Disastrous. His whole confidence hinged on a false hope. How sad! And it went on year after year after year. How sad! It's about to change. Is it about to change in your life? What have you fixed your hope upon? Well, not about you, but in my pre-conversion state, my hope was to win a huge amount of money. Didn't have the national lottery then, although I'm told you've got a 1 in 14 million chance of winning. What a hope! Pathetic hope, even if you buy a lottery ticket. But my hope was to win lots of money, so I engaged in gambling. Yes, I would back horses, I would play cards. Do you know what the outcome was? Instead of winning more money, I lost more money. What a pathetic hope. How sad. And yet people are clutching onto straws as if their hope is in things like that. And I'm no different to other people in this world. Others have false hopes in religious observance, in religious customs, having their children christened, blessed, coming to a chapel on Sunday morning. Well, at least I went on Sunday morning. Well, I could do better than that. I came morning and evening. Well, false hope. We're saved by grace through faith alone. Not in what we do. Just as this man was crippled and couldn't walk in the ways of the Lord, he needed the Lord's help. He needed the Lord's healing. He needed the Lord's touch upon him. And Christ gave him that glorious hope. Friends, don't dream of some magical solution. Don't pray to a false God. Don't rely on the force of hope of your own human ability. You will fail. But Christ can help and give you a glorious hope. Don't be without hope. God in this world, the Lord can change all that. The man needed healing. The man needed hope. The man needed help. Verse 7, I have no one to help me. You can almost see the man screaming at the words of the Lord Jesus. Perhaps his eyes welling up with tears, a sense of sorrow and being burdened. Oh, if I only had someone to help me. The man's reply then to the Lord Jesus helps us to highlight the fact that yes, out of all the people in this crowded city, here he is surrounded by people who are so busy going about their own affairs that they've got no time to help this one individual. Here is a man then who's left on his own. Here is a man who's sensing loneliness and perhaps neglect, being overlooked and forgotten. It's not that people are being nasty to him and just ignoring him. They all live busy lives and they just perhaps had not got the time and the effort and the commitment to go on helping someone. And so he is in this state for some 38 years. Years. For 38 years remained desperate for the need of healing, the need of hope, the need of help. It almost seems that he has become so used to not having anybody to help him that perhaps he's never really thought seriously before about the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now Jesus is there, and he's listening to Jesus, and he's being made to think. It's often said that man's extremity is God's opportunity. Undeserving as he is, and totally unexpected, we find that Jesus focuses his attention on this one man. He draws near to him. He begins to speak to him. He begins to give an indication that yes, he is the one who is able to help him like nobody else. The help he needed was in the form of the miracle being performed that is going to transform his life. He is never going to be the same again after this encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps the man expected from Christ some sort of help, coming perhaps in the form of physical help to get into the water, because so long he had got his mind perhaps set on this false hope. Oh, the waters of trouble, quick, get in before anybody else does, in a rather selfish way. But the form of help came in the form of a command. Get up! Take up your mat, your bed, and walk. Now, human logic dictates that we ought to be screaming back to the Lord Jesus and say, that's impossible. I haven't done it for 38 years. Why are you telling me to do that? Well, here's a very, very important biblical principle. God makes commands of us. He holds you and me responsible to listen. And not only that, to obey him. And God never commands us to do something, but he also gives us the ability to do it. Praise his name. So when he says, repent, you think, well, I don't feel like repenting. Be assured the Holy Spirit will come upon us and convict us of our sin and enable us to repent. And when the preacher says, well, we've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and exercise faith in him, well, even faith is a gift from God. You see, God never commands us to do anything, be it of a practical or spiritual nature, but with the command he gives the ability. So we can say to a dead man like Lazarus, come forth, come out of the grave. How can a dead man hear? How can a dead man walk? Well, it's only by God giving him the ability to do so. And it's the same for you today. Here is this man then, in great need of help. And Jesus is giving him the help. Perhaps the help comes in a sort of somewhat strange way, a command. And when Jesus helps us, who have been crippled by the effect of sin for many years in our life, we are having to acknowledge this. It is entirely a work of God's grace. Nevertheless, there is a human obligation and responsibility on each of us. We have to listen to the Lord. We have to obey his commands. And in a sense, we, just as Jesus was telling this man to do something which is impossible, so it is for each of us. Humanly impossible for us to repent. Humanly speaking, impossible for us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, the only Saviour of sinners, the only one who can really help us and give us eternal life. It's impossible. But what is impossible with man is possible with God. Oh, that we would look in faith then and trust the Saviour. Like many of us, this man was rather perhaps full of his own excuses, so much so that he did not answer the Saviour's question by telling the cripple, get up. Jesus, in effect, is saying, I don't want your excuses. I want you to obey the clear command. He's being told, in effect, stop feeling sorry for yourself. Yes, I know you've been crippled all these many years, but now you have a duty to listen. You have a duty to obey. And to his amazement, he discovered that what he'd never been able to do before by his own effort was possible by the help of the Lord. And he did what he was told. He picked up his mat and he walked. And Jesus granted the healing and the help that this man desperately needed. It's interesting to note that after the Lord had granted him the help that he needed, you notice that his first steps took him back into the temple, took him back into the house of the Lord, so that once again he would be meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ, the one and the only one who had granted him healing, granted him hope, granted him help in his hour of need. But fourthly, here is a man like you and me who had a need for holiness. What did the Lord Jesus say to this man when he made him well? Well, he told him to stop sinning. It's interesting to note that it was on the Sabbath day that the Saviour graciously granted that crippled man the ability to take his first steps of new life. And while the miracles recorded in John's Gospel, yes, they are very few, they are limited, but each one teaches so clearly spiritual truths that are very important that we should note what this man did when he was converted. He may well have been walking in spiritual darkness for a long time, in a state of poor health. But now the Lord has blessed him and helped him and healed him. And what he needs to realize is this, that he needs to forsake his sin. It's one thing to have a healthy body, but it's more important to have a healthy soul. He needs to leave the broad way that leads to eternal destruction, begin to walk in the narrow way that leads to eternal life and glory and bliss and heaven and the glory of the Saviour himself. How easy it might have been for that crippled man perhaps to be elated. After 38 years of being a cripple, he must have been overjoyed with the fact that he could now walk. But far, far more importantly than his physical healing was his spiritual restoration, his spiritual health, the spiritual hope, and the need of holiness. Because the Bible says without holiness, no one will see the Lord. This man was no exception, nor are you, my friend. We need the Lord's help. But we have a responsibility also. And the Lord says to us, as he said to that crippled man, you go from this place and don't continue in your state of sin, whoever you are. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord, Hebrews 12:14. Well, might the Saviour then be concerned both for the spiritual and the physical walk of this man. See to it that you stop sinning, because it might be that something even worse happens to you. Now, that's not an idle threat. It's helpful to be warned, because this is a very serious matter. I will suggest the worst thing to happen to him or you, if you enjoy God's blessing in this life, is to hear the word of God and fail to realize that you must be cleansed from sin, that you must walk in the light of God's truth, because failure to do so will result in an eternity in the place the Bible calls hell. And that will be far worse than any suffering that we might be called to endure in this life. I would dare to think that this man did heed the Lord's command. I would dare to think that this man did turn away from his sin. I would dare to believe that this man went away healed physically and was healed spiritually. That he did begin to live a new life, a life of holiness. Because the man went away and he told the Jews it was Jesus who made him well. Not only well physically, but possibly spiritually. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. May you walk closely with the Lord for his name's sake. Let's take up our hymn book then as we sing. Lord, as we have listened to your word, help us to trust and help us to obey. Help us each one to walk in the ways of the Lord, and grant, O Lord, your peace, your help, your strength as we do so. Father, may your wonderful grace and mercy and peace be with each one of us as we go to our homes, and may this Lord's Day be a day of thankfulness and praise for each one of us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.